Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it. Bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk, and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the NXT Wrestle Talk podcast review. Is that what we're calling it?
You sound confused.
I'm very confused.
This is off to a bad start. It's the premiere episode.
Well, I mean, they had one Wrestle Talk podcast already.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so
I mean, it's the premiere episode of this one.
That's true, yeah.
Without Luke's guiding hand on the tiller. And immediately, we've gone adrift.
It's gone terribly.
Yeah. Tits.
North. Nup?
Nup.
Nup.
I was going to say...
Nips up.
What I wanted to say was nipples north, but what I said is tits nup.
Tits nip. Yeah, so this is what it's going to be every week now. It's going to be me and you doing NXT stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm joined by El Fake Dollar Blake.
Hey.
I should probably mention that. I'm Pete Quinnell. I didn't mention that either.
Oh, for God's sake.
This is good. This is a good intro.
Welcome to the true alternative.
The true alternative.
It's not what you wanted.
The true alternative to the WrestleTalk podcast is the bad version of the WrestleTalk podcast.
This is what it's like when it's unpolished.
Yeah. we've not got any emails from people because it's the first one. So in the future, ladies and gents, boys and girls, send in your emails to pete@wrestletalk.com and we'll read them not only on the NXT WrestleTalk podcast, but also the SmackDown WrestleTalk podcast, because I'm going to be doing that one too with someone else.
Mm.
Yeah. So
who? Whomst?
I don't know. Oh. You tell me.
I don't know.
Cool.
Been doing the editors. He's not doing the personnel on the screen. It's not my job.
I believe he's actually been mentioned a few times on the podcast anyways, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, podcast people can know, because they already know anyways. My friend Dave is going to be
Dave.
Doing the SmackDown podcast with me.
Who the hell is Dave?
I don't know. Just Dave, isn't he?
Nepotism.
I know, yeah. such nepotism, my friend. Is that nepotism?
Yeah, I guess so.
I thought it was just more like familial was nepotism.
Nippletism.
Nippletism.
Nipples north of tism. This is the kind of quality content you're going to get on the NXT.
This is terrible.
Have you seen any films?
Any films? Ever?
Yeah, ever, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
this is
I've
the kind
seen...
of thing me and Luke normally talk about, so I'm just trying. I saw the film Hustlers this week.
Oh, that's the one with J-Lo's ass in it.
Yeah, and that's how Ollie said as well, when I said, "What I'm seeing this film this week." And he went, "That's the one with J-Lo's ass."
Mm.
And yes, J-Lo's ass is in it heavily.
Is it a good butt?
She defies age, that woman.
She does, doesn't she?
She's like 50, isn't she?
And Mariah Carey.
Yeah, she...
Just defy age.
Mariah Carey does it, I think, through a series of surgeries.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, like, J-Lo's unreal, isn't it? There's the opening scene is girl goes into, starts working in the new strip club, etc. J-Lo comes out to do her, like, spot, her dance, because mm-hmm. she is the, like, the queen bee of the strippers backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And she just does this dance in this, like, candy floss costume thing.
Whew.
I was like, good Lord.
Is it hot in this cinema, or is it just me?
And they're like, God, I hope there's a plot to this. Because otherwise, this is going to make me seem like a pervert.
Otherwise, this bone is for no reason.
Yeah. It was actually a really good film, I thought.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's actually really, it's like fun. It's quite funny. It was all based on an article in The Cut.
The Cut.
Fortunately, not The Cut. Yeah, all based on an article in The Cut where, and it's based on a true story, where this woman went and interviewed an ex-stripper who basically, they kind of, after the Wall Street crash, strip clubs went down the pan, basically, because
yeah.
there weren't these guys on these crazy salaries anymore to just go in and splurge loads on strippers to be like, I just play with money all day. The Wolf of Wall Street. And they also yeah. stopped the midget tossing and all that other, you know, all the fun
shocking.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Bloody Wall Street crash, am I right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so they sort of couldn't do, like, they weren't making any money. So they thought, okay, well, these girls went out fishing, as they called it, in which they would go out and find someone to come into the club and then spend loads of money on strippers.
Mm.
And then they just took that little step further where they started drugging people and then taking them to the club and getting them to spend money on strippers and racking up their credit cards and stuff. And like this, this little sort of cohort of ex-strippers who were now just thinking they're entrepreneurs were just making loads and loads of bank off sleazy dudes. Like,
yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting film.
Interesting being the operative word.
Yeah, it's an interesting film, and it's there's a lot less stripping in it than you would have thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's my review, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not going to go see it then.
No. I'd go see the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's about right, I'm out.
And then, yeah, well, that's about as long as it takes.
Hey!
Hey-o!
Yeah, no, I've not seen anything lately in the old cinema. But I think I've got plans. Nope. I'm trying to think of films that we wanted to watch, and that's like way in the past. It was like Toy Story 4 and Spider-Man Far From Home that I still haven't seen yet. So I really need to get round to
that.
I'm going to see
Joker on Monday. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, Joker,
of course.
I'm
interested to see with Joker, because it's that kind of thing where everyone is still quite hyped for it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was that initial spate of people who'd seen it at the Venice Film Festival and it won the Golden Lion and all this big talk about Joaquin Phoenix being up for an Oscar probably for his performance mm-hmm. and stuff. And then the second wave of people all went to see it like last week.
Yeah, like press screening stuff.
And the press screenings and the reviews and all that stuff coming out of that is saying it's maybe a little too far
mm-hmm.
and it's a little too reveling in the psychosis of this man.
Exactly, yeah.
To which Todd Phillips was like, woke culture ruined everything, didn't it? Absolute bloody avocado-eating snowflakes. You can't make a film about a legit madman anymore without...
And portray him as the hero. Come on now.
Oh, God.
You idiots. Some psychopaths are fine, okay?
Yeah. I think that's fair. To be fair, I think that's... It's one of those things where... Maybe I won't know how I feel till I see it, obviously. But I think, you know, presenting him as the hero, it's meant to make you feel uncomfortable. And sometimes feeling uncomfortable in films is the point.
Yeah.
And I think some people forget that as like they watch things and be like, oh, that was uncomfortable. That's bad. That means that's bad. And it's like, no, that's mm-hmm. the point. Like, you know, you're not supposed to watch The Human Centipede and go, oh, that looks good. Might try that this week.
What a fun experiment.
Yeah, what a great idea.
I think that's kind of...
science classes have got boring these days, haven't they?
I think that's my outset when I watch horror movies. It's like, I am scared, therefore bad.
Yeah.
Which is obviously the wrong way to watch it, but I just don't like being
scared. If it
scared
you, it's done its job.
That's the
right?
point like, of it, yeah. So that, like, I can appreciate...
You are a wuss, though. Honestly.
I am, absolutely. Yeah. So that's like, I can appreciate it as a very good film,
mm-hmm.
because I enjoyed the film, I just don't like being scared, therefore I didn't enjoy watching it. But it still doesn't mean it's a bad movie. I just don't like being scared. It's still a very good movie. So I don't know whether, obviously we haven't seen it yet, so we can't comment. But I wonder if that's kind of the same deal with Joker, in that makes you uncomfortable. Good. Thumbs up. That's what it's supposed to do. That kind of same yeah. logic, I guess.
I think the idea that they're trying to get, maybe the idea they're trying to get across is the fact that you should be, as an audience, torn, because there is a sympathetic side to characters who are, there's normally a sympathetic side to characters in superhero franchises to make them fall, like, not many people are just out and out bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got serial killer criminal things, but like even in like crime dramas, serial killers normally have a backstory that's like they had an abusive childhood.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason people become sociopathic, psychopathic, and that's maybe the exploration of it, and that bit, that little sort of bubble that they can exist in there, it's okay to be like that, be sympathetic.
Yeah,
it's all the stuff they do afterwards that's not sympathetic.
That's,
you know, what I mean?
It's, yeah, like, exactly.
It's how you react to the bad things that happen to you is the way you should be judged.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially,
exactly. Yeah. But enough talk about death and stuff. Let's talk about NXT. Let's get into the show where we're going to be talking about a major NXT star returning from injury. Here's the show.
But let's start with the major talking point, I think, from what was an amazing, amazing episode of NXT. Not a competition, but they really did.
It's definitely not a war.
Knock it out of the park.
It was incredible. I think topped off by the very final shot of the night, which is this one that's mm-hmm. on the screen right now. We had, should we talk about the main event first?
And yeah, let's talk about the main event leading into this.
It was the tag team championship match between the Undisputed Era, the champions, and the Street Profits.
I mean, you mean,
were the
when I say street,
you say
profits.
Street profits.
Terrible.
Wally? Where's Wally?
That blooming Wally.
It doesn't work for an American audience. Where's Waldo?
Yeah, I know.
Where's Wally over here?
Wally's a silly person in the UK.
It is. He's a silly person.
He's a silly person.
Anywho, Street Profits came out with Wally.
Mm-hmm.
Wally! Came out with him. They had a fun entrance. Undisputed Era came out. Kyle O'Reilly playing his belt. Missed it. So good. They proceeded to have a very, very fun match, which was slightly plagued by ad breaks, but to be expected when they're on a TV show. Mm. It was a really, really fun match. It came towards the end, though, and it looked like Street Profits were gearing up for the victory. They had all sorts of fun things back and forth. Dawkins came in and had a really fun hot tag and hit spears and all sorts of stuff. It looked like they were setting up for a blockbuster, and Undisputed Era managed to counter that. They had a fun spot where Fish dived off the top rope and missed as Dawkins dived for a tag. Ford immediately went for a frog splash onto the now prone Fish. That was fun. Ford hit an absurd dive over the actual corner post.
It was the old ricochet spot, wasn't it?
Yeah, literally straight over the corner post into the corner, almost taking out everyone in the barricade, which was really fun. But then after that, Street Profits were on a roll. Out came Bloody Roddy Strong. Roddy Strong came in. North American champion Roderick Strong came out and he grabbed the leg of one of the Street Profits, which probably should have been a DQ.
Yeah, I didn't get this bit because the referee was looking directly at him.
Yeah.
And I feel like the rule isn't, it's not if you attack them, is it? I feel like the rule is if you lay hands on them
mm-hmm.
to stop something happening,
yes,
that's a DQ.
That's a DQ.
That's what I feel like is a DQ.
Yeah, if you interrupt the match with physical contact,
yeah,
that's a DQ.
Like if say, because Dawkins gets up and hits the spear, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
After that on the apron to Roddy.
Yes.
Knocking him out.
Yeah.
If that had happened, that mm-hmm. would have been fine. Because
yeah.
it's fine if you attack the person at ringside. But if they attack you, the match is over.
Correct.
Or they do, like, and this was, you know, this felt like it
He grabbed his leg. That was an interference. So it probably should have been a DQ.
Same as when people pull, like, they pull you off a pin or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, that's seen by the referee. That's also
yeah.
a DQ.
That's a DQ. Yeah.
I don't know. It was still, it didn't spoil the match.
It definitely didn't. It's a massive nitpick. Aside from that, Strong grabs the leg, runs a distraction. Undisputed Era come back in, hit the high low, and they retain the NXT Tag Team Championships. Undisputed Era, spoilers, still holding all the gold at the end of this episode. It's great. The three of them, O'Reilly, Fish, and Strong, in the ring, holding up their championships. Out comes Adam Cole onto the stage, holding up his still NXT championship. They're all celebrating.
It was a really
Everyone's
weird,
having a good
like,
time.
It was such a weird little setup as well to be like, they were in the ring being like, yeah, but they were doing it at the ramp. And then Adam Cole was like, right back at you.
Instead of coming out to celebrate with his team in the ring.
Coming out to help. Like when he was like, we all need to concentrate on helping earlier in the show. And he didn't want to.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I'll forgive them.
It was fine. So here, they're all celebrating. Everyone's having a good time. Oh, it's the end of the show. Just kidding. No, it's not. We've got one more surprise in store because, it's Tommaso Bloody Ciampa. He comes out with his No One Will Survive music. Laurie's very happy about it. Yep. And he came out and just started walking very slowly, very purposefully up to Adam Cole. And he's just staring at the NXT Championship. Walked around Cole, just staring at the title. Came back and then at the very end, just looked up into Cole's eyes and it goes off the air. Awesome!
Yeah, I thought this was great. Like, this was, like, great character work, I think, from both guys. Like, Tommaso Ciampa continuing his obsession with Goldie.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, returning, walking out. All he wants to do is look at the belt and be like, that's mine. Adam Cole's face here was a picture. Like, you can see here, like, he looks a bit... He's looking determined there, but he looked pretty scared before that because he'd already had some interruptions this evening.
And indeed he did.
Proved himself pretty handily in one match. But this is the big one for him. This is the, you are a pretender to this throne. Because I never got dethroned, Tommaso Ciampa can say. You know, that is that. It's that kind of thing. It's like, this is the guy who was on top returning to legitimately be like, I am still the champion.
And that's it. And Ciampa came out and immediately inserted himself right back where he was, which is a relief on my part, because part of me was kind of dreading that he'd come back and go like, North American Championship. But, come on, Ciampa.
Yeah, or Johnny Gargano again.
Yeah. Luckily, he didn't do any of that. Straight back for the NXT Championship, retaining, like you said, that character work, going straight for Adam Cole. They never really had a feud, Cole and Ciampa, before. Oh, so excited for that. This was awesome. This was such a great way to end the show because you end the show going, oh my God, this crazy thing! Yeah. Rather than just like, instead of being like, as great as it is to end on a really good match, and you end the night going, oh, what a great match. This one was like, oh, what a great match. And this other thing! It's like, it takes the end of the show to another level. So then when you leave the show, you think, wow, what a show that was.
Yeah, and I think it's that interesting dynamic here as well, because, you can do the big Ciampa return, and you can be like, well, there's a Cole Ciampa match on the cards. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. But because of something that happened earlier in the show, the dynamic is completely different. This is a world of possibilities, because... We'll talk about it later, but Finn Balor returns earlier in the show and says he's back in NXT. And he returns in a segment with Cole.
Yep.
So Adam Cole is now under siege from Finn Balor, the longest reigning NXT champion in history, and Tommaso Ciampa, the undefeated last NXT champion before Johnny, before Adam. Like, you know, he's got two contenders for his title. So this either sets up a Balor and Ciampa match, which I really want to see, to decide who is the actual first in line number one contender, or it sets up a triple threat title picture in which all three guys are going to put on some amazing matches.
Yeah, and I'm so down for literally any combination they go for in the future. I'm so down for whether they do Ciampa versus Cole, thumbs up. Cole versus Balor, thumbs up. Cole versus Ciampa versus Balor, thumbs up. If they do Cole versus Balor versus Ciampa versus Riddle versus Dane, also thumbs up. I don't care where they go from here. I'm probably going to like it.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing I think about this whole NXT show and this ending specifically is this is a takeover ending. This is a Ciampa walks out to appear on stage is kind of like your ultimate takeover ending. And also probably when I would have redebuted him had we not been going like live and there being really big important shows. You would have just had Ciampa come out at the end of a takeover, at the end of a title match.
Didn't do it after the end credits logo though, did he? Come on, no. That's your thing, Ciampa.
Yeah, but you can't do that on TV. People aren't used to that. People might be like, all right, it's done now. Yeah, like, you know, you can't treat it like pay-per-views. People are like, I paid for this. I need to wait for the money.
Every second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just think that this had the feeling of that mini takeover. It was like three huge title matches, huge returns, ending on a Ciampa staring down the champion shot. It just had like, it didn't do massive amounts of build for any of these stories, but it just suggested that these stories are coming up,
mm-hmm.
which I think is enough. Like Pete Dunne going to a program with Damien Priest, which we'll get onto the full show in a minute. But there were so many little bits of story and little angles and feuds that can spin out of the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
while still resolving these feuds that they set up quite quickly in time for this show to be like, well, we need big things to happen, so we're going to give the Street Profits their rematch. We're going to get Candice LeRae into the number one contendership. We're going to have Matt Riddle go for the NXT Championship. Those little bits feel kind of resolved here. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know if Candice LeRae, Shayna Baszler will carry on, or Matt Riddle, Adam Cole will carry on. But I was happy enough with those matches and happy enough to see those guys rotate out for a bit and then come back in later once we've moved on with whatever the story is that we're going to tell with the titles going forward.
Exactly. I think that's one of the main things for me about this show, is that it's so refreshing to see NXT not do the same feuds time and time and time again. That's the first time that Riddle's gone for the NXT Championship. It's the first time that Candice LeRae's gone for the Women's Championship. You have all these new contenders mm-hmm. cycling in and out, and it keeps the show feeling fresh all the time. So even if they go back to something they've already done, if they do another Cole Riddle match, I don't really care. That's the thing.
Not after that one.
Like, I'm still going to enjoy it. And then after that, if they go back to Cole Gargano, I'm still going to enjoy that, because it's been a while since Gargano's had an NXT Championship match. So having these feuds rotate round instead of doing the same one for like 4 months on end is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got so much star power, and their roster is so deep that they've got enough stars to keep that rotating and not feel like they're undermining the title at any point. Because you say, well, this is probably the biggest star at the time. Like Riddle, you think, oh, he's probably one of the biggest stars in NXT. Then they have Champ, you go, oh, he's one of the biggest stars in NXT. And then you have someone like Balor, oh, one of the biggest stars in NXT. It's always one of the top guys going for the title, and it never feels like they've got like, oh, they're pushing a mid-carder into the main event or anything like that. It always feels justified.
What's that thing? If they're going to do 5 takeovers a year, say, now,
mm-hmm.
I think that's about the number. But they have a weekly TV show. We're not going to fall into that same trap that we did with NXT TV, where it's all placeholder until takeover stuff. Because it's in front of a live audience, you're going to want to say things like, next week, NXT Championship match between these two giants.
Mm-hmm.
And everything feels like it actually has stakes. Yeah, no titles changed hands in this show, like in the show last night. But it still felt like they could, and it was close enough, and it felt like it was worthy of the spot. It didn't feel like some of the matches where it's Johnny Gargano versus Johnny Gargano, the champion, versus random dude. Who will win? Like, it felt like everyone was in with a legitimate shot. And like, if we can keep that momentum of like the people in the title pictures always feel like they stand a chance,
mm-hmm.
even if you don't change the belt until you are sure you want the right person in there, as long as it feels like it's a competition, then it's so worth watching.
Exactly. It's the same thing as New Japan does it very, very well, when they always have so many different contenders for their top championship. They won't change the belt very often, but it always feels like they might win it here. It's like there's always that thought in the back of your mind. It's like, they won't change it, but they could.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of the same feeling that we're getting from NXT now, when they have so many stars in so many good positions that any single title match they're in, you always feel like, there's a chance.
Yeah. Well, it's a marked difference from the Raws and SmackDowns of the world, in which the people who aren't the champion don't have any momentum.
Exactly.
Because the champion has all the momentum. And therefore, you just go, well, they're not going to win. They're mm-hmm. not going to win. They're not going to win. Every time I see, like, I was guessing Riddle wasn't going to win in this mm-hmm. match on last night's show. But, I mean, during the match, I was like, hey, I feel
he's probably going
to win this. Like,
yeah.
You know, big opening of the show, big title change. That'd mm-hmm. be amazing.
Yeah, it would be great, yeah. And with my wrestling friend group that we got, we always do predictions for stuff. And because this was such a big NXT, mm-hmm. we actually did predictions for the show for the 4 matches that we knew were happening, the 3 title matches and Gargano versus Thorn, with the matches we knew were happening. And I predicted all of them correctly because I'm great. Shame I can't do that for Wrestle League. But a lot of my friends were like, no, I think LeRae's going to win and Shayna's going to go up to SmackDown. And I was like, oh my God, that could totally happen. Mm-hmm. Like that with the draft coming and everything. And then they were just like, oh yeah, I think Profit's going to win it back off here. I was like, they could totally do that as well. I was like, it was so close. And when I was watching the show this morning, I really loved the show, mainly because I got all my predictions right. But it was also a great show. But when I was watching it, I was like, oh, Profit's going on last. They're going to win.
Mm.
But it just never came to fruition that way.
And I celebrate with Wale. We got the smoke. We finally got the smoke, lads.
We got
lads.
The smoke.
Lads, we got the smoke that we were asking
Jesus,
for.
Yeah. Just pop down to the smoke store and grab some.
Is the smoke the belt? I don't know. I don't know.
I think
is the smoke?
I think it means they want to fight.
I think it means they want, like, the people talking about them. I want all the smoke.
Oh, maybe. They want smoke up their butts.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's the thing about smoke, isn't it? You don't. Yeah. There's no smoke without fire.
That's true.
And you don't want smoke blowing up your ass.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah.
Difficult.
Anyway, I got sidetracked from my point. But anyway, yes, it just goes to show that you could predict this show basically any way. And it could be legitimate. At any point, you could have titles changing hands. And that's great for a weekly TV show because you never know what's going to happen. And it will make people want to watch more.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch more of this.
Exactly. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And let's get on to some super chats, which we've got a few here. Limps comes in to say, "Hello, lads. Spoiler-free thoughts. You can tell by the smile on wrestler's face post-promo that wrestler's gender pronoun misses the place. Cheers." That's referring to big old Daddy Ciampa.
Mm.
I think you could tell. When he came out and he was starting looking down Cole, just had that tiny little grin on the side of his face. I was like, aww, it's great to see him back.
So happy to be back, yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome to see.
He's worked hard to get back as well. Like,
oh, you know, so hard.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's just awesome to see Ciampa again. I love him.
And he's in, like, impeccable shape as well.
Yeah.
Always
is.
Every time
comes
he goes,
back
he goes
better.
Away injured and he comes back stronger. He's
he just needs to get injured more often.
The bionic man.
Bradley Fetzer says, "I think the OC with Finn should have attacked Undisputed Era."
Yeah.
I don't know if I could see AJ Styles going to NXT. That's the thing.
I was kind of expecting more crossover. Like, I was expecting, like, Finn Balor is obviously, like, a big deal. But
that's
a massive deal. Like, then it was just like this random selection of people in the crowd. It was like Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, Mark Henry.
Oh, yeah.
Alundra Blaze. Stephanie McMahon. It was like Becky Lynch. Where's Becky Lynch? Where's Seth? Where's, like, you know, if you're just going to just fly them in for, like, they don't have to do anything. They just have to be there to wave at people and say hi. Like, even some of the lower tier people who've gone up from NXT to Raw and SmackDown, like Ricochet would have got an amazing, just to be in the crowd and wave at people. The War Raiders.
Yeah.
Like, we're not calling them
Viking Raiders. Is that what they are now? I genuinely still get confused.
I think it's the Viking Raiders.
Viking Raiders.
Is it?
I don't know.
What are they called?
What are they called, chat? I don't know. Yeah, I think I completely forgot what I was going to say. There was someone, it was a really funny joke that I had of someone that was going to be in the crowd, and now I've forgotten. So I'm just going to move on.
I hate it. I think you can play into Finn returning, though, because like the Undisputed Era could fall apart. We could see Adam Cole die again. And Finn Balor could be the one to do it and be the leader of the Undisputed Era.
Oh, God. Imagine that.
On that long-needed heel turn that Finn Balor has needed for ages.
Yeah. Or just Balor just joins.
This is the thing. Balor can ride the little wave of being Finn Balor in NXT for a while now, I think. And he doesn't have to change his character very much. No. On Raw and SmackDown, he needed a character change badly, I think. To not be a loser.
Yeah.
Number one.
Start winning matches.
Number one on the list. Don't lose your matches. but yeah, like he can ride the wave of being like a really super over babyface in NXT for a bit. But I really, really want to see heel Finn Balor.
So do I. That would be great.
And I think if you wanted to switch it up and you wanted to move Cole on, send him somewhere else, Finn Balor is your man to take Cole's spot in the Undisputed Era. Because I think as heels, they have a similar vibe.
Yeah. They really do. Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, we'll talk more about Balor when we come on to the rest of the show. Jobber JJ, Ollie Davidson, number one fan, says, Riddle versus Cole should have been on a takeover and not the opening match on a TV show. Will/are takeovers beginning to be an afterthought? No.
No.
That's what I say to that.
I think we're more likely to get the regular NXT programming, I think, on USA is more likely to be like the previous 2 weeks of programming that we've had, but if you took those 2 hours in which on the first week the USA half was pretty boring and the second half on NXT was really interesting, last week the USA half was really good and the NXT half was really boring.
Yeah,
I think if you take something like that and you mix it up, the order, so it builds from like a big opening segment and a huge main event into and something good in the middle to like a couple of fillery matches with people like of a lower tier than Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be more likely the tone overall of NXT.
Yeah.
But I think you will have these like we were saying earlier, I think you will have these standout matches like Cole and Riddle because it's weekly and you need to have an audience turn up every week to keep your spot on television in America. Because they like to cancel things at a moment notice.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to pre-program for these big matches that are going to knock the socks off, and especially when AEW's over on the other channel.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, this was an exceptional episode because, and I mean that not as in it was really good, as in it was an exception, because it's the first one against AEW and they wanted to go all out with it, so they did these massive matches. Plus, I don't think this is the last Riddle Cole match we're ever going to see. We could still totally see that on a takeover.
Yeah.
So I don't think takeovers are an afterthought. I think they just wanted this episode to be knock your socks off brilliant, which they did.
Yeah,
so,
I think it was the mini takeover vibe that they were aiming for.
For sure. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity dog. Breaking. Dick, dick. So let's get into the main portion of the show. So, NXT opened up with a really cool video package. Shocker, WWE can do really good video packages. It was great. Showed we are NXT, all that stuff. All the, you know, the Triple H verbiage, NXT chants,
it was Corey Taylor from Slipknot doing the
voiceover, which was fun.
Which I think, but again, it's nice. It's that, like, it was that thing of Slipknot, the title song. It's nice that they have given their song to a program they actually like. You know, you get all that, you know, we're so thankful for Billie Eilish giving us her song for NXT TakeOver.
She'll see me in a crown.
I'm sure Billie Eilish doesn't care. I mean, from her music, she doesn't care about much.
She doesn't care about anything. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I think it's nice that Corey Taylor clearly has a passion for wrestling.
Yeah, that's great.
And now has a brand that he's associated with. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Opening video package was rad. Came in to Mauro Ranallo, who was standing there with a microphone. Called it combat action instead of sports entertainment. Really much prefer combat action. Should use that all the time. Because despite sports entertainment having the word sports in it, combat action feels much more sportsy.
Well, this is a and this is the weird thing. This is Triple H trying to differentiate his product even from the Raws and SmackDowns of the world. He's trying to say, like, this is a WWE product, but this is much more the vision of the future that everyone wanted when people were talking about indie wrestling and all that kind of stuff. He's trying to say this is the, you know, it's not indie wrestling.
It's not indie wrestling.
And it's not Japanese style wrestling or any of these other styles of wrestling. It's combat action. It is its own thing.
Yep.
It's just, it is interesting to him to be like, no, we've named it our own thing now.
Yeah. It's the same way that Vince made it sports entertainment. Triple H is like, combat action. That's mine now.
Yeah. But I really prefer it.
Oh, like, yeah, me too. Massively so. Marrow then announces that the first, which I believe was already announced, the first 30 minutes of the show will be ad-free, which sounds like a really, really good thing. That's great. First 30 minutes, ad-free, cool. Then you realize that they're going to tail-end all of the adverts into the last half of the show. There were a lot of adverts after that first 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness me, there were a lot of adverts. Anywho, we opened up with the first...
Do you want a dollop of Daisy?
Yeah, that was a recurring one, wasn't it?
Or a chalupa.
Or a chalupa, yeah. But then we have the opening contest, which was Matt Riddle versus Adam Cole for the NXT Championship.
Yeah.
Matt Riddle came out, gave a fist bump to William Regal.
Big Willie Regal.
Really like that.
Okay, bro. Have a lovely time.
I can't imagine Regal saying bro.
Yeah.
That's like the opposite of Regal.
Yeah. Okay, my brother.
I was going to say broski.
See you later, old bean.
But
on the street.
Riddle came out having a lot of fun with his entrance. Crowd was super into it, chanting bro with him.
He sent his flip-flops into orbit.
They went miles away. Like, he kicked him and they went off the camera shot. You just couldn't see him anymore. It was great. Adam Cole came out again, massive ovation for him, doing his usual thing, Undisputed Era, all that stuff. I hit my microphone, sorry. And Cole's wrist is taped up from the previous week when Riddle did the Fujiwara armbar on him. Mm-hmm. And the commentary were putting over that he has a fractured wrist, but he's been medically cleared for the contest.
As long as he wears the cast.
Which I feel like is contradictory, but that's okay.
But Riddle didn't give him any time to think, though, did he? Because Riddle came out like a house on fire and just went straight for him, hit like... triple gut wrenches, I think. No, just like
it was like takedowns.
A series of three waist lock takedowns. And then just went for the armbar.
Yeah.
But that pace that they started out with just didn't stop. There was no point where anyone was like, oh, we're just going to think and breathe and have a little rest hold. It was the whole match was just, I kick you, you kick me. I kick you, you kick me. Panama Sunrise. Like that, and that was, it was just like this one-upmanship game. There was this amazing sequence in which Riddle does the step-up flash knee.
Mm-hmm.
Cole takes it, bounces off the ropes, Enziguri.
Yep.
As he lands, Riddle scoops him up. Gut-wrench German.
Yep.
Dumping Cole on his head. And I was like, he's dead.
Huge release German.
And then he just rolls over. And as Riddle goes to get him, he's just like, Ushigaroshi. Like, I was like, what?
What is happening? Yeah. It was literally, we can't go through every spot in this match because, like you said, such a fast pace. And this match goes about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't stop. It's so fast. So many spots coming back and forth. I've literally written here, I can barely keep up with my notes. That's how fast this match was.
I had to stop taking them at some point.
And then I just reverted to capitals just saying, this is so good. Amazing sequence. Riddle looked like he had the match won. Went for the floating bro. But Cole got his knees up. Hit a Panama Sunrise again, probably.
Yeah.
It was a great near fall. Crowd chanting fight forever. There was amazing sequence where Cole looked like he had lost because Riddle counters the Panama Sunrise with a bro to sleep, hits a powerbomb, then a knee, then a floating bro, and then Riddle Cole kicks out.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening? How did you just kick out of like five big moves in a row?
Yeah.
It was absurd. That looked like a final statement on the match. It was like, that's the ending sequence. And then Cole just kicked out. I lost my mind when I was watching this. It was amazing. And then finally, we got to the ending sequence. There's a Panama Sunrise. There was a bro mission. Went straight into the Fujiwara armbar. Cole got out. He went into another Fujiwara armbar and the other arm. Cole got out of that. Hit a super kick, hit the last shot, and Cole retains the title.
Clocked him with this.
Oh, man. What a bloody match.
Yeah.
It was genuinely incredible.
It was. It was amazing. And it looked like Cole survived Riddle.
Yes.
And that is a story they've told with Matt Riddle before. People survive Matt Riddle. You don't beat Matt Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Cole had to use the cast, which was always going to come into play when he was wearing it. But it was done so well. It was like Cole has had this brilliant bit of character development where like he will cheat to win,
mm-hmm.
but only as the very last resort. And now he's got a lot to lose. Like, since when he was the NXT champion, he was going out and winning matches under his own volition, no real help from the era, etc. Now they've all got this prophecy going on. The stakes are so much higher for any mm-hmm. one of them to lose the title. So here he's willing to, I'm going to clock you with the cast.
Yeah.
And then take the last shot victory, which later in the show he meets with Kathy Kelly and goes like, yeah, well, I finished him with the last shot. It wasn't the cast anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't the cast. What are you talking about? No, I'm not.
I loved it. I thought, like, it's an interesting difference to AEW's opening as well, to be like, this is a high stakes match for our most important championship.
Mm-hmm.
He goes 20 minutes without interruption. You have to be here and you have to stick around, because on the other channel, yeah, Cody's facing Sammy Guevara, but
yeah, sure.
Big whoop. Who's Sammy Guevara? Like, you know. But that is, I think Cody's a really big name, but Cody has done this, I'm having the match with the younger talent who mm-hmm. takes me to the limit thing twice now.
Yeah.
So this felt like we really want to win this. We want to win this ratings war that mm-hmm. we've imagined.
Yes.
By putting this on. I just think that it was much more of a, not cutthroat maybe, but it was a very TV decision to be like, well, we're going to front load our show with the thing that's like, you have to stay for this.
Yeah, exactly. And to make it ad free as well, it makes people not flick the channel during the ad break. So they're just staying and watching the whole match, which was, a great choice.
Around through all the chalupas later.
Exactly. Yeah. But then, Cole celebrating in the ring, everyone putting over, still got the title, Prophecy still alive, blah, 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 blah. And then out of nowhere, Finn Balor's music hits. I lost my mind when that happened. Literally, I was sitting alone at home watching this morning. And I, in my seat, was just watching, taking notes. I was saying, I literally wrote down, Jesus Christ, what a match. And then my next one, all in capitals, is Finn Balor, what the F, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there, I literally just went, like that, like properly, like lost my mind that Balor was back in NXT. Because Balor in NXT, when he was NXT champion, that's my NXT. That's mm-hmm. when I started watching NXT weekly. That was when I was hooked on NXT. So for him to be back, for me, that is like, the biggest return they could have possibly done for NXT is Balor coming back, and they did it, and I'm so bloody happy.
Well, he wasn't being used anywhere else, was he?
So exactly.
I just think it's worth it. Like, it's, Finn Balor's a guy that they've clearly lost, Vince has clearly lost confidence in after his injury when he won the Universal title. So
mm-hmm.
why not send him back to NXT where he can and already is a legitimate champion?
Exactly. He came straight in, walked straight up to Cole, crowd going mental for Balor being back. Eventually, after the crowd calmed down, he just says, as of now, Finn Balor is NXT. And I was like, oh, my God, yes. Give me more of this. Inject it into my eyes. God, I love this so much.
He's like, I think he's just, it's just such good, he's such a good pick for that roster right now as well. Just to be like, because also he's not Tyler Breeze. He's not going to be like, return, get the big pop. Be like, well, we're now just going to give you your gimmick from the main roster. Why would you ever do that?
I don't know. Yeah, but hopefully now this means we're going to get to see proper Finn Balor in NXT. We get to see another Takeover Demon entrance, which mm-hmm. I always love.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for that. Maybe it's only one before his gimmick changes or something. I don't know whether they're going to stick with the whole demon thing. Who knows? But Finn Balor being back in NXT. Going straight into the NXT title picture, challenge facing Cole and challenging him, just saying, I'm in NXT, by the way. Hiya. And then walks off. Awesome.
Yeah,
absolutely loved it.
The amazing thing with that is it's a pocket match that when you hear that AEW is doing something really big down the line, you can just go, yeah, we got Finn Balor versus Adam Cole this week. So, turn up if you want.
Yeah. And then it's just like AEW respond with a bigger match. They go, he's going to be the demon. Add the extra layer on it.
Demon, yeah.
Yeah. I can't say the praises enough of Balor being back in NXT. It was great. Then came next was a video package for Shayna Baszler versus Candice LeRae, which is really fun. Just displayed the whole feud and how they got to that point. And then we see both of them training backstage. Shayna's one looked really, really cool. She was with the other two of the Four Horsewomen, Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke. And she was just going ham with these like boxing gloves and stuff. It looked really, really cool.
Doing the little lockups.
Yeah, doing like lockups and stuff like that.
The lockup hugs. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I don't know what they are, but it looks cool.
I don't know what it does.
Yeah, I have no idea either, but it looks cool. It doesn't matter. It looks cool. So yeah, both of them getting ready for their match. Then Velveteen Dream's music hits, and you can see him on the stage with a brand new couch that he's got from somewhere, because his other one got burned.
DFS.
It's made out of women, I think.
It's always a sale on.
Yeah.
It's made out of women.
It's made out of women, I think. You couldn't really see. You could just see a load of women surrounding it. You couldn't really see the sofa itself, but whatever.
It's heavier than the last one, that's why. He needed yeah. more women.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not on wheels, that's the problem.
Of course, yeah. He can't actually wheel it. Yeah, just, he needs a woman to carry it.
He needs a lot of women to carry it now.
Exactly, yeah. He cuts a promo just saying, "Do you feel it a lot of times?" And then just says, "What you're feeling is the Velveteen Dream experience." Has some, you know, classic Velveteen Dream stuff, mildly erotic lines.
Dreamisms.
Dreamisms, yeah.
Dreamisms.
The Dream has never ever complained about taking on more than one man at a time.
Ayo.
Love it. And then he eventually challenges Roderick Strong for the North American Championship, but by himself. And he said, "Hey, you can come up by yourself, you know, like a man. If you want to have your friends, that's fine." And that's when he said, you know, "I've never complained about taking on more than one man at a time." But essentially, he's just saying, "I want another shot at the North American title." Which is cool. Down with that.
Yeah, I didn't rate the promo.
Promo was fine.
Yeah, the thing with Dream is, like, it's nice that he's there live for the live crowd. But it's better when it's a promo package, because that's then you can do all the stupid effects. You can do the flames in his glasses. And all. Do that. I think that's a better way of presenting the whole thing, because it gives it more drama. Here it just felt like innuendo, with the thrust beneath it being "I want a rematch."
Thrust. I like it. But I mean, at least he did the Dream over, clicked his fingers and the lights went out. That's a gimmicky thing.
Yeah, sure. I just like Dream immediately going back into the title picture with Roddy as well isn't very interesting to me.
That's true. I think what they're going to do is have that match probably 2 weeks down the line, 2 or 3 weeks down the line. I think Roddy will win again, but clean this time, and Dream will move on to something else. I think it's just, it's more of a formality, I think, to show consistency of Dream's character, because he liked that title so much.
Yeah.
The instant he loses it, you're not just going to be like, "Oh, well, lost it." You know, I think he would want to try and have... I think he'd want to try and win it back. So I think it shows a consistency of character to want to fight for it again. I think it works. On this occasion. I'm not a huge fan of rematches normally. I think on this occasion it works.
Sure. I'll give you that.
Then we get announced the Cruiserweight Championship match for next week, which is Drew Gulak versus Leo Rush. With the newly renamed Cruiserweight Championship. Now it's the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. So don't know what 205 Live are going to be fighting for, but hey-ho, it's there now.
To get to NXT, I imagine.
Yeah, now they've got
the carrot on the stick is you can be on the telly now. On the proper one.
Yeah. So now they've got NXT, Tag Team, NXT Women's, North American, Cruiserweight, and also the NXT UK champs there too.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
That's a lot of belts.
But I think that's enough belts in the, like, I don't know. I feel that gives enough like opportunity to be like, well, there's this championship match this week, there's this thing, we're building something. As long as you give them all importance and bit. The problem with Raw and SmackDown is that there are so many belts, and we just continually forget that the women's tag ones exist, or these ones exist, or those ones exist. Like Shinsuke Nakamura
is the IC champ. Did you know?
With a belt every so often, you'll be like, "Oh yeah, I forgot he had a belt."
Yeah, that's true. I think that's the defining factor, is if they have enough prestige to them.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But you can balance the sort of the week on week action by being like, well, this week is the next week is clearly the Cruiserweight United Kingdom Championship week, where you know, we're going to see Walter in action and we're going to see Drew Gulak in action. So we know that is against
each other.
Yeah, but we know that is what's happening next week. And then the other titles can have a rest week and build their stories through other means rather than just having a championship match. I think it's great. I think as long as you do it right, you can have as many belts as you like.
Yep.
Hundreds of belts. Everyone can have a belt.
Christ.
Christ.
That's like a participation award. Give everyone one of those.
Everyone gets a gold sticker.
Yeah, perfect. Then we got an entrance from Io Shirai, who was taking on Mia Yim, which is actually a pretty big deal. Two of the top, you know, women's wrestlers having a great match. And this was a pretty good match.
Yeah, I really like this.
Yeah.
Hampered massively by the number of commercials in it.
Crikey Moses, there are a lot of commercials.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, it obviously happens on other WWE programming a hell of a lot where you get the picture-in-picture commercial. And I'm normally okay with it, but I would actually prefer that you just cut to an ad break because then I don't have to watch the adverts. And then when it comes back, you can just recap the action. But because it was playing under the adverts, it's so hard to follow what's going on.
I know.
And then you come back, and then because they've been showing, they have technically been showing the action, you don't get replays of all the cool stuff people were doing. And clearly, Triple H's vision for NXT is that even though there are going to be ad breaks, and this worked really well last week and the week before, even though there are ad breaks, there's still going to be wrestling in the ad breaks, and it's still going to be good wrestling in the ad breaks. It's not going to be, let's go into 5 minutes of rest holds here. We're going to do a Tower of Doom spot, and you're going to come back in, and we're all going to be stacked up, and then we're going to do it as we come back from the break. That is much better than any example of this thing where it's just people talking about dollops of Daisy over the top of, like, they were putting like sour cream in cakes.
I don't know what that's about.
That's mental, isn't it?
Stop it.
That is insane.
That's bonkers. Stop doing that. That's disgusting. Anywho, yeah, but it was very distracting.
Foul chalupa food.
Because I did notice in one of the ad breaks, Mia Yim hit her finisher. She hit the protect your neck in the ad break.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And then there was like a near fall during the ad break. And I was like, well, we're not going to get a recap of that when we come back.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fine if you want to have that wrestling during the ad break, but because we can't hear what's happening and we get, you know, this little box over in the corner, big spots like that, I'd say recap them when you come back, even if you've got a shrink screen ad break, because that's important to the match. And people might have missed it because they might be watching the adverts.
Well, this is the thing. You come. I think as the viewer, you come back to the match feeling like you've missed out because the crowd are going crazy because the NXT crowd is so much smaller and they haven't done any rest holds, so everyone's still really fired up. And the crowd were hot through this entire show because every match was actually really, really very good. So it's kind of annoying as a viewer to come back in and be like, oh, for crying out, I missed all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because seeing it with, like, it's like watching wrestling without the sound, isn't it? And it's literally wrestling. But it's that sort of, if you watched it on quiet or you don't hear the bumps properly, or if, like, you're watching an indie show that someone else has cut and it's not synced properly, it's all that kind of stuff that just takes you out of the action.
Yeah.
And WWE's production is so good that to see it in the non, like, regular form is actually just very disappointing. It's more disappointing than not seeing it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. But anyway, that's our rant about ad breaks. We won't talk about them again. Promise. I know you will. Despite that though, this still was a very good match. Immediately, Yim goes for a handshake and Shirai just slaps a hand out of the way, which I thought was a nice character moment. They have some nice back and forth. There's a baseball dropkick from Mia. There's a flapjack from Shirai, and then she does a handstand and drops into the knees, which was nice. I thought that the crowd might have been really burnt out after the first match. They were not.
No.
They were hot pretty much the entire night, bar, I think, one match. They were pretty bloody hot the whole night, which was great.
Well, they picked the right people. I think this was the thing. It was like, you're going to get to see Io Shirai and Mia Yim. It wasn't that that normal NXT would do an Io Shirai showcase match, but it would be someone much lower down the card. So you know the outcome. You know what's going to happen. Here, it felt like, again, it's having stakes to your matches. That it was very well balanced in the fact that, like, Io or Mia could have gone over there, and I don't think it harms either of them particularly. But Io is definitely the rising star here.
Correct. Yeah, I'd say so. Some other cool spots. There's a code blue from Yim, Tope from Yim again. Like I said, the protect your neck in the ad break from Yim for a near fall. There's a great line from Mauro who said, like a dentist and a carpenter, tooth and nail. Come on, Mauro. Bloody love Mauro. That was right before a superplex from Shirai, and she hits the moonsault for the win, which was cool. I'm happy to see Shirai win. I think she needed it a bit more than Yim did. Good. Good match.
My
like
stupid
it.
Brain was like, that means Candice is winning.
Really?
So that Shirai.
So it's
going to
be Shirai versus
Candice,
again. Yeah. It's not a bad
idea. Because
they
were best friends for a week.
They were best
Remember
friends.
Remember when they were best friends for a week? They were. So nice.
Yeah. Great time. They keep talking about it. It's when we see Scott Hall and Kevin Nash in the crowd doing their thing. Throwing the toothpick or whatever he does. You know the thing. Anywho, then it's Street Profits and Bianca Belair arriving backstage. Mm-hmm. Is this the first time they've actually shown Belair and Ford as an on-screen couple?
No, I think when Belair had her takeover match for the championship, Ford was there.
Okay, right.
I believe.
Maybe.
Maybe that was just on the backstage stuff on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Anywho, it was cool to see. It was nice to just have that little dose of realism in there. We got a video package for Tegan Knox recapping her injury in Mae Young Classic, and now she's coming back. She came back to NXT UK to do a couple matches over there. Now, coming back to NXT as well.
I wonder if they're going to put her in Team Kick with Dakota Kai.
I hope
they are
not,
Team Kick.
Honestly.
And I know they've done some NXT live shows together already.
I'm hoping that they're a team that don't always tag. So it's like they're a team, sure, and when they come together, woo, that's cool. Team Kick in a match together, rad. But they're also single stars who can go off and kick ass by themselves. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be cool. So they're still friends, they still tag every so often, but like they're not a tag team.
One working leg between them.
Yeah, they literally do a three-legged
race.
Three
knee braces.
Nice. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Tegan Knox. Looking forward to her coming back. Mm-hmm. Then we got Johnny Gargano versus Shane Thorne.
This is the run back of the... this match was taped during the last set of tapings before NXT... It was decided that NXT would go live. Mm-hmm. And then they scrambled to obviously put on all the live shows as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So it got dropped.
Yeah.
This is a rematch of that unexciting sounding match from those tapings. It was really good. I was like...
Yeah, unexciting sounding, but actually quite exciting.
And that was the thing. So when this feud...
Feud.
When this match was booked, in the sense that like Shane Thorne was off doing the I'm gonna beat up all the guys from the breakout tournament, and Johnny returned after his crushing defeat to Adam Cole, and then sort of just ended up in this confrontation with Shane Thorne. It was like, oh, okay,
it's a bit weird.
But I know these two can have a good match, and they proved it here because this was really, really fun.
Yeah.
But there was just nothing to this, and like Shane Thorne was definitely already doing stuff. And now he's just deciding it's Johnny, and it's like I feel like we were working. You were you had a goal, and you were pursuing it, and now you've just gone like Johnny Gargano.
He's like Angel Garza, Jordan Miles, Johnny Gargano. Yeah, perfect.
Throwing a rock, but like,
yeah,
not whatever his name is in the thing. Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed, that's right. Yeah, well remembered.
Yeah.
So anyway, we had Gargano versus Thorne. Lovely bit of chain mat wrestling to start things off. I am a sucker for mat wrestling sequences to open up matches. Loved it. Was great. Quick attempt for the Gargano escape, but he scrambles away and split screen ad break.
Yeah, and in the split screen ad break, Gargano was chopping the hell out of Shane Thorne, like in the crowd. Like, just had him up against the barricade, just slapping him.
Woo.
You can see people going nuts, and you're like, why can't I hear this?
I want to listen to this.
And then he kept teasing a tornado DDT on the outside as well. It's like, why are we missing this?
Yeah.
I do like the fact that the wrestling continues in the ad breaks. I like the fact that it's like it's still an event for the people who are there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, because do you know what it proves? It's like the crowd stay hot.
Yeah.
If you keep giving them good wrestling, they might get burnt out, but it's only a 2-hour show, so they probably won't. Like, if you keep giving them stuff, you get that feedback of them being part of the show and making the program seem better, which I think when you end up going to rest holds and ad breaks, you come back and the crowd is flat and nothing's happening. So,
yeah, I think it's even worse.
It's the right choice.
Yeah, for a crowd like Full Sail, it would be horrible for them to be quiet because it would be deathly quiet.
Mm.
For like big arenas like AEW have or like main roster has, even when the crowd are quiet, there's still some sort of noise from the crowd. Whereas I think for Full Sail, it would literally be like silence if the crowd were a bit dead. So yes, very much right choice.
So this is a really cool bit where... Johnny goes for the suicide dive, and Thorne pops up and hits him with the forearm. Johnny bounces off the forearm, turns around and just does the dive anyway.
It just does it anyway?
It's wicked.
It was so cool. Yeah,
then
I love that spot.
Then he rolls him back in, hits the spear through the ropes, goes for the jumping DDT thing that he does as well.
I believe that's been renamed the Thunderstruck DDT, according to the commentary. Apparently.
Just like the reverse Rana is now the poison.
Poison Rana.
Yeah, Johnny hits knees in the corner, but then he hits double knees in the corner on Thorn, but Thorn chases him back to the other corner and hits this crazy leg lariat, rolls off on the floor, and then does his amazing running, like stalling running cannonball thing that he does.
It's so good,
which is incredible.
Absolutely love it.
I thought they just did this brilliant bit of trading in this match where it looked very even. Both guys came off really well. The right person won, but like if you were Shane Thorne's character building hasn't worked to my mind so far. Him having a really good match does way more to build him as a like legitimate threat and someone worth watching. Because I think like when they were TM61 as well, they were clearly very talented, but never through injuries and everything else. They never actually got to build a story around them, and they never really got to show any personality. They just got to be, because they do flips, everyone's like, I like flippy guys.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is, like, the crowd were popping for all of Thorne's spots as well. So, like, they were into Thorne. It wasn't just, like, they were into Gargano, hence the match was good. It was, they were into both guys during this. So I think if Thorne continues to just have really good matches moving forwards, that's a character for him. To just be like, hey, I come out here and I have really bloody good matches. He's the Buddy Murphy of NXT.
Mm.
Like, I think that would be a great character for him to have. Yeah, there's a lovely sequence of counters. It kicks himself a poison run from Gargano, and he hits the DIY lining up super kick thingy for the win.
Foreshadowing.
Yes, foreshadowing indeed. Yeah, great stuff from both. I've always been a massive fan of Shane Thorne. Really nice to see him have a proper good match on NXT. Big fan of this.
Needs new music.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? It's a bit pants.
Better waistcoat.
Yeah. He looks better than he did in TM61, though.
When they were the Mighty and they just wore Neo coat. I know Kung Fu.
Yeah. But then we had the NXT Women's Championship match, which was Candice LeRae versus Shayna Baszler. And it was at this point, because I'd predicted among my friends that none of the titles were changing, I thought, oh no, the tag match is going on last. I just went, bollocks. Yeah. I thought, Profits are winning, aren't they? But luckily, they didn't. Anywho, this was a fun opening bit as well. Quite fiery start to this match as well. There was a nice crossbody from LeRae to Baszler and a Shrint Green ad break. Like, oh, come on, guys.
But at least I think this match was really, really good.
I think this was great.
One of my favourites from the show. And I think it's because Candice came out looking like a character. Like she looked like the, you know, she's previously just been sort of happy clappy Candice LeRae who gets beaten up by people. And here she came out smiling and waving and happy to be on NXT Live on USA. And then when Baszler came out, she turned into a different person. She was like, oh, I'm going to mess you up now. Like, I've fought really hard for this, and I've been here for ages, and I deserve this spot. And she went nuts. Like, she did triple topes to the outside.
Oh, that was a great spot.
She just did all this amazing offense. And even when Baszler tried to do her Baszlerisms of, like, she went after the arm. She put it in the steps, and she kicked the steps, and then she was wrenching it in the ring, and Candice was selling her heart out. Candice still just got up and fired back and tried to do the business. It was like, I'm gonna throw everything at this that I can, including putting Baszler in the Kirifuda clutch.
Oh, that was so good, wasn't it? Yeah, Baszler went for the Kirifuda, and LeRae, quick as anything, just countered it straight into her own one, and the crowd went mental because it's the first time that anyone has put the Kirifuda onto Baszler, which was awesome. It was so great to see, and crowd went nuts for it because they were thinking that would be the end of the match, but it wasn't. There was a super gut wrench suplex from the top rope from Baszler to LeRae, which was awesome. LeRae hit a diving swinging neck breaker from the top as well.
Yeah, then she hit a DDT, went for her lion salt, missed. Yep.
Missed it.
In the clutch.
Yep.
And then the fight for not tapping out went for ages. I thought
it
did. She did this really impressive, like, Baszler was on her back and she rolled over onto her knees and then she stood up and then she crumbled again. And then that was when she was forced to just tap.
And she tapped. And I'm quite glad they did the tapping spot rather than the pass-out spot, because I think the pass-out spot has been overused.
With Baszler especially.
So it's really nice for me to see someone actually tap to it rather than just pass out, mm-hmm. on a personal note. But yeah, and it didn't make LeRae look weak in any way. Very strong, nearly beat her, put the Kirifuda on her. So yeah, it was a great match. Built both people as it should.
Yeah. And considering this came out of we're just going to chuck a load of people in a ring and see who, you know, wins the number one contendership. I felt like this feud, small as it may be and shortly built, worked. I think it really, really worked nicely. And
absolutely. Yeah.
I felt like Candice LeRae was a legitimate contender, even if there was that bit of me that's like, they're never going to take the title off of Baszler.
Exactly. Yeah. Can't bet against Baszler. This is when we see Mark Henry, Stephanie McMahon, and Alundra Blaze in the crowd. It was literally like someone said, pick three random people from the WWE roster.
Press Mark square Henry. On 2K19.
Yeah, it is literally that. Someone's pressed square three times and got Mark Henry, Stephanie McMahon, and Alundra Blaze. Anywho, they were there and just went, and that was about it. Then we got a video recap of Imperium's debut in NXT and all the shenanigans with Kushida.
Kushi.
Oh, can't wait for that.
Yeah, that's next week.
Oh, so excited. Mm-hmm. So excited for that. I bloody love Walter. I bloody love Kushida. And then we got probably the worst match on the card. Not that that's a negative against this match, just because the rest of the card was so good.
Yeah. This was still a really good match.
This was still a fun match. And this was Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch, mm-hmm. which is two faces facing off against each other, which was fun.
Who's the strongest, strong-style Brit?
Who's the best Brit?
Go on, and I'll have you. Yeah. I'll have you, mate. I'll have you. You want some? I'll have you.
Yeah. Commentators putting over Danny Burch's character of a pint and a fight is mm-hmm. a good night for Danny Burch. I was like, that's fun. There were some nice counters and sequences to start off. Shoot, screen ad break. And I thought, for the first time, the crowd are a little quiet for this match.
Yeah.
But they did pick back up towards the end of it anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Which was great.
This was your classic. Let's have a little thing to then have a spot at the end.
To have
we'll do an
at
angle
end.
At the end. And
exactly.
That's the point.
Dunn eventually got the win. There was a rope hung DDT from Burch, but Dunn came back, hit the bitter end, got the win. It was a fun match. And then, as Dunn celebrating, the lights go out, and out of nowhere comes Damian Bloody Priest, who attacks Pete Dunn, hits the crossroads thingy that
Reckoning.
He does. Yeah, that one. And it looks like a Damian Priest versus Pete Dunne feud is on the cards.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
I like that totally combination fine with that. Of people. And also, I was into this match because it had probably my favourite spot of the entire night, which was Pete Dunne does his corner escape backflip, but Danny Burch steps back and then just headbutts him in the back. That was amazing.
That was a really good spot. Yeah, I forgot about that one. So I'm well up for Damian Priest Dunne because Damian Priest hasn't really done anything yet, and now he's in an actual feud.
And also this actually felt like a character for Damian Priest. I think that the problem with Priest so far is that he is been built sort of semi as a heel character. Like he's he's got all the looks of a heel, but he's not done anything bad yet. And this felt like, oh, this is like the first bad thing he's done. He's actually shown some personality beyond being like, I'm going to be the Archer of Infamy. I'm going to be my name will live forever. Blah blah blah. Yeah. But how?
Yeah, how are you going to do that when you're just beating jobbers all the time?
What are you going to do? Yeah. Beat Keith Lee, that's it.
Yeah. Adam Cole's backstage with the angel Kathy Kelly, and she was saying, oh, so you won with the cast, you moron. Pretty much what she said. Mm-hmm. And Cole was like, hey, I didn't win with the cast. I won with the last shot. What are you talking about? And then just says they need to focus on the tag match. The rest of the Undisputed Era comments, but oh, what's Finn Balor doing? And then Cole just says, they need to focus on the tag match, need to get in the zone. And then as they walk over, he goes, you guys are the freaking best. Love Cole.
Yeah.
That was great. And then we get a video package of Street Profits and Undisputed Era's feud for about the fourth time in my notes. Said, Profits are totally winning, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And then Street Profits do their big entrance as well, and we get the main event that we talked about before.
Yeah.
So that was NXT. Bloody love that show.
Yeah.
I think, for especially because this isn't a takeover, this is a TV show, 5 out of 5. This is absolute top quality for a TV episode. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get much better than this. Yeah, it's got to be 5 out of 5.
I gave it EST NXT.
EST NXT, that's it. Yep. I'm getting used to your rating system, I'm sorry.
They're mental, it's fine.
So yeah.
I didn't want them to be puns. I wanted them to be stupid.
Yeah.
I thought, looking back at the show, I was like, you couldn't have done anything better except not have adverts.
Yeah.
That was genuinely my only criticism of this. Like, maybe the Velveteen Dream promo could have been a package rather than a live promo because mm-hmm. I don't think it worked quite as well. Like, the playing to the crowd bit fell a bit flat to me. Mm-hmm. And the sort of like, do you feel it? Do you feel it? Do you feel it? And maybe we could have not had Wale.
Yeah, or I mean, he was fine.
Or he could have had something more to say.
when I say street, you say profits. Street.
So what are you going to do for your entrance, Street Profits? Well, I thought we would just... this guy's just going to say, when I say street, you say profits for about 3 minutes.
For about 3 minutes. Yeah. And occasionally then, and he'll just go, they want the smoke.
They want the smoke, yeah. I just don't think there's anything more to say about them. You know, I've searched my soul and I've looked for lyrics and I've looked for things to say, but mm-hmm. I just think this really sums it up.
Yeah, for sure.
These guys,
they
just want the smoke.
Yeah, like, that's all it is.
It's just what they're after.
Let's get on to your Susu Super Chats. Anthony B comes in to say, does the Undisputed Era need a new member for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship? I don't know. I wouldn't think so. How about Balor?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess does the prophecy fall apart if you don't have a woman and you don't have a cruiserweight like now and you don't have a UK?
Yeah. Prophecy doesn't really mean anything now, which is a bit pants.
Yeah.
But
I think that's fine, though. Like,
it's all right.
I think they should be getting away from the prophecy as quickly as possible still.
Now they've done it, move away from it.
Yeah, well, because the prophecy was never that they would own all the titles. The prophecy was that they would be dripping in gold. They all have a belt, so that is the prophecy.
Correct.
Doesn't matter what the belts are.
That's true.
So adding new members actually just makes it more difficult. You've got to refulfill the prophecy.
All you
got
to do is just get rid of people now. Just be like, right, strong, get out of it.
If Roddy loses the belt, he's out.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're still draped in gold. Yeah. Prophecy fulfilled. We have Dina Sisai, who said, who do you guys think will dethrone Shayna? At this point, I've pretty much given up on anyone being able to beat her.
Ripley.
Ripley's a great shout.
Rhea Ripley will be the one to do it. Because they were building that feud on the tapings, and then they went live, and we've had Rhea come out and do her squash match against whatever they renamed Lacey Lane as.
Oh, I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Kaylee Cuoco. It's not that. whatever it was. And yeah, like it was Caden something, wasn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, and I think Rhea Ripley was being put in that position ahead of time, but they're probably going to have to restart that feud now.
Yes,
because
you have to
do it for the new audience. So I would give it a few weeks,
mm-hmm.
let the heat die down from the Candice LeRae thing, and then we start building Ripley up.
Yeah, to take over War Games. Yeah. In time for that, I'd say. Yeah, yeah, I think Ripley as well. Mary Painesville, Dan comes in to say NXT was better IMO, so much talent though. From what I haven't seen Dynamite, I've seen what happened. I think NXT was better from what I've heard anyways.
Well, Dynamite was they were going for a very different proposition though. They were setting out their stall as like, this is what the the show is going to look like really, isn't mm-hmm. it? It's going to be like the wrestling stuff, but they weren't like, here's a championship. They were here's a women's championship match, but they weren't like, here's a championship match, here's all this other stuff, which I guess NXT has the benefit of having all these belts and all this stuff already set up that they can just chuck it all in there. And they've also, NXT's already got an audience, so you know, mm-hmm. you are inherently more invested in what happens in NXT.
Yeah.
Was NXT a better TV show? I think it was like, this is a point Housemate Simon made earlier, who was like, NXT, because it's filmed in Full Sail and it's this smaller, closer TV show, actually feels like the alternative to the Raws and SmackDowns of the world. Whereas mm-hmm. AEW show, because it's in a big arena and with all these huge names from around the world, feels much more like the third brand to Raw and SmackDown, because it's actually hewing more closely to what WWE traditionally does.
That's true, yeah.
I think it's interesting.
That's absolutely true. I should also point out, thank you very much to the moderators, by the way, for gathering the Super Chats for us, because we've not got a producer. You may have noticed that we didn't switch the camera to say we're joined by this person, because we're not joined by anyone.
We got no mates,
yeah. So thank you, moderators, for gathering these Super Chats for us and for being moderators and checking the chat and all that. Thank you, guys. Rex Joseph Calmeron comes in to say, the OC invades NXT, recruits Balor, and feuds with Undisputed Era.
I mean, wouldn't everyone love that?
Everyone would love that.
You can't fault the fact that everyone would love it. I also think it would be a waste of the OC.
Very much so.
I would much rather see them replicate what the Undisputed Era are doing in NXT
on the main roster.
On the main roster.
Yeah.
That would be a much more interesting... I think there's only really room for one of these factions.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to build the OC to that point to be like, well, it should be the Undisputed Era invading wherever the OC are, not the OC coming. Why would the OC come down and face the Undisputed Era on the third brand of WWE?
Yeah,
what was previously true. The developmental yeah. one? Like they wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, Luke.
Hi, Luke. Luke's just come in to wave at us. Hey, buddy.
Hi, guys.
Hey. I agree with you on that one. I think there can be more than one faction like Undisputed Era and NXT. I mean, we've already got Undisputed Era and the Forgotten Sons, who are basically the same.
Hey, someone had a sign for them, Pete. First time ever, someone had a Forgotten Sons sign. And I was it really is a different world, isn't it, Alex?
It is, yeah. Crazy.
Someone really loves Jackson Ryker.
I know. I mean, I would love to see OC versus Undisputed Era just as like a showcase match. For them to just be like, look, guys, you want this match? We're going to give you it.
But
it doesn't need to have a crazy build to it.
But you know what? Like, is that not a Survivor Series match? Is that not like a... Is Survivor Series going to start including NXT? Because it blooming well should. So,
I don't think it will.
I don't think it will, but I think it should.
Yeah.
So why not whack the OC versus
awesome.
Undisputed Era in there as just
great.
Like a... another part of the overall makeup of that show.
Yeah,
because that would sell tickets to me.
Exactly, yeah. I don't think you should have OC and Undisputed Era on the same brand. That should be a showcase match as a one-off special rather than some big feud that you built to.
Yeah, sure.
Anton H says, inventor of women, Steph, should beat Shayna.
The inventor of women, yeah.
Yeah, I'd totally be down for that. Stephanie McMahon, new NXT Women's Champion.
I think she just looks at Shayna Baszler and she unmakes herself. Shayna Baszler just disintegrates. Like that's the power that Stephanie McMahon has over other women. Yeah,
just goes away into dust. Yeah, it'd be great. Zayad War said NXT should do an Ultimate X, the thing TNA used to do 10 years ago when it was still good. Think it would be great. Even the main event roster with people like Ricochet, Alistair, and even AJ Styles, they need to bring it to WWE.
Mm.
I've not seen any Ultimate X stuff.
Someone with the,
yeah, they've got the X in the middle and they have to go across to get it. But yeah. I've never actually seen one in action.
Bloody dangerous, that match.
Yeah, it looks it, doesn't it?
There was some. I mean, there was some amazing. Like I think TNA at the time they were doing Ultimate X matches. Their X division was so full of
stacked, wasn't it?
Insanely talented guys, and WWE's roster certainly has that depth to it. But they're all on 205 Live,
yeah.
Like, you know. We can maybe get Cedric and we can get Buddy Murphy and we can get Ricochet into it, but then we'd have to send them all to NXT to be involved with the other half of that equation. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. I would love to see it.
That'd be fun.
Or some spin on it.
Although it would make
but maybe
sense.
We don't need more gimmick matches.
It would make sense though if it was an Ultimate X match because of NXT. They can bring back like the big X thing that they used to have on the old NXT championship
maybe it's
belt.
Three rings together, and above one is an N in rope, above one is an X, and then above one's a T in rope.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater when you've got collect.
Yeah,
the,
and you've got
the,
to collect all
the
things,
letters
and then
to spell out skate.
Yeah, and that's how we make a belt that's made of puzzle pieces.
You
and
just
that's
got to
how
slot
you win
them in.
The title. Yeah, you win the NXT. The NXT title is now a puzzle piece. It goes
Perfect.
Back to the old belt where it spelled it out, but you collect the letters.
You collect the letters. So please welcome your end champion, because someone's just got the N.
He only got the one.
Yeah, and someone else has got the X. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
It'd be perfectly Undisputed Era.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah,
great.
We're going to combine the letters. The new prophecy.
Ben Greenwood comes in to say, great NXT, happy for Finn Balor. Leave Wale alone. Sorry, mate.
I'm sure he's very good.
Sure he is.
Not that.
They want the smoke. Did you know?
Yeah. I feel like maybe they could have just done the song.
Yeah.
There's already like a Bring the Swag song.
Exactly,
happened,
yeah.
So they could have done some riff on that. Because it's very different to... what's your guy's name that did Adam Cole's entrance?
Oh, Josiah Williams.
Josiah Williams.
WrestleFlow, yeah.
Like, that was amazing, that entrance. Mm-hmm. And I think,
it's great.
You know, he
love him.
Built what he was doing into the music for Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. And it all kind of worked in that, like, it became this cohesive thing, whereas this felt like it was very last minute. It was like, if you just go out there and hype people up for them, and it was like,
When I say streets, you say profits. Rex Joseph Calmarin says, Baszler versus Asuka, please.
Oh.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I'd love it.
I mean, Asuka's not doing anything else, is she?
No, exactly.
They didn't even bring Paige back to still manage them.
Paige here. T20G says the OC versus the Undisputed Era should be at War Games. Be fun. Could be a big showcase match, but I wouldn't want to take away from any of the other matches that actually have a build, I'd say.
Yeah.
Should be a showcase match on the main roster, I'd say, or something like that. Or...
We were talking about earlier when we talked about War Games. We said, just a multi-man War Games match in which it's not teams. Yeah. Be quite fun.
So it's kind of like an Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah, but NXT's spin on it.
Yeah, like, exactly, yeah. So you just have like, I think we mentioned like 5 or 6 people. Start off with 2 and 1 comes out. They're in their shark cages if you want that on the ramp or whatever. And then after a certain amount of time, each one comes out. I think
exactly,
that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Now we get onto the super chats about AEW. Okay. There's only a couple,
we'll
to be fair.
Get through this.
Rogue Eowyn said, did Aubrey Edwards win the Wednesday Night Wars? She's the only one who managed to appear on both shows. First match on Dynamite and the replay of Tegan's NYC injury. She's in on both shows, technically.
There you go.
That's top play to her. Daniel M says, green guy shirt to AEW, saw him in the crowd. I know, big news, green shirt guy who's always in the front row of WWE shows to AEW.
Whoa,
shocking, absolutely shocking stuff. Couldn't believe it.
Traitor.
Now we just got the miscellaneous ones. Tim Arndt says, not going to be present today because I can't see NXT till tomorrow. I don't want to be spoiled. Still wanted to donate, though. So thank you, Tim Arndt, I'm assuming you're going to be watching this on catch up.
I hope you enjoyed it when you did watch it.
Yes. Seth Amphetamine said, hey, Ollie. Come on.
Dude.
I just thought you'd be interested to know that the front bottoms are my favorite band of all time. I have 5 of their 6 studio albums on vinyl. I'll be sure to tell Ollie that. Later, after the stream is done.
You're walking around like a skeleton last night, trying to find your way home.
Sure.
I quite like that song, it's good.
Quinton Whitfield said, I can't decide Mox or Ciampa. Ciampa.
I'm with Ciampa.
Yeah.
We've seen Moxley do his thing recently.
Yeah, that's
not
that's
seen
Ciampa
do his
yeah.
thing for a while.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Crazy Lewis, who is a wrestle tyke, I believe, on WrestleTalk.com, said, my favorite ad is Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. Stupid ad.
I don't know. I just think the Dollop of Daisy one is my favorite. Or the Pringles one where he's like, cool, play Funky Town.
Oh, yeah.
That joke didn't wear thin incredibly quickly.
It was funny the first time.
Yeah, it was funny the first time.
But, yeah, wasn't again. Zayad Warwar said, AEW 1, NXT 0, in my opinion. What about you? As I said, haven't watched Dynamite, so I can't give, like, an official score. But from what I've heard, it seems like NXT was better, for me anyway.
Yeah, I'm clearly more heavily invested in NXT anyway.
I'm an NXT
mark,
as it
is. I've been
talking
about it for a year.
Yeah.
I think... To each their own. It's about who you identify with as the talent in the ring. And I think AEW has a very good case for having a roster comparable to NXT. It's just I've been watching NXT for like 4 years now. And
yeah.
I'm very heavily invested in all the people. I've seen them all come through. I've seen every match they've done in NXT. Mm-hmm. So for me, watching NXT and seeing someone like Ciampa come back, I genuinely this morning almost spat my toast out because I was like, he's back!
Yeah.
To the point my girlfriend was like, what are you doing? And it's like, sorry, my favorite wrestler ever came back. She was like, that's very sad. And then left the room. So, you know, like, but you might feel that way about Cody Rhodes or the Young Bucks or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Christopher Jericho.
Yeah. That's what the way I felt about Finn Balor when he came back. Mm-hmm. Lost my marbles. Zayad Warwar said, what's your dream match? 1 NXT versus 1 WWE versus 1 AEW.
1 NXT versus...
I'll say Adam Cole versus AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega.
Ooh.
That's my kind of wrestling.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Think of an NXT guy.
Ciampa.
Tommaso Ciampa. Who's the meanest person in WWE?
The meanest? I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really think of anyone at the moment. Maybe I'd have...
A bully.
Maybe I would have Balor versus Ricochet.
Oof.
Versus Pentagon.
Oh, yes, please.
I mean, it's the thing. It's like so many people. You just name things and it's like, that sounds great.
That sounds like really fun. Yeah. And
Walter versus Brock Lesnar versus Jack Hager.
Kenny comes in to say, if Undisputed Era versus OC has to happen, it should be a Worlds Collide. It's built for one-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good point.
That, I mean, that would make it feel like a proper huge deal as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd be totally down for that. And finally, thank you to Rex Joseph Cameron for super chatting, but with no message.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, everyone. So instead of movies, the other thing we like to talk about is video games.
Yep.
I've been playing Fire Emblem Three Houses lately.
Oh, yeah.
And it is spectacular. It's really, really good. Because I got to a bit when I was playing last night. I was into it anyways. I was very much enjoying the story, and I was kind of into the characters. I was into the whole kind of mechanics that they've got in the game. I was like, this is really, really fun. Then it got to a bit in the story where there was a massive, like, swerve in the story that I did not see coming from a mile away. And I was like, oh my God. And I was so much more into it. And then a whole thing happened, and I was like, I did not see any of this coming. This is so cool. And I don't want to say it because I know you're going to be playing it probably at some point.
After I finish Link's Awakening. Yeah. It's on my list.
But just rest assured, it's awesome. No, it's really, really good.
I'm really keen for it. Like, Fire Emblem is one of my favorite game series. I think the problem is I overplayed it until like Awakening came out. I played every single one. Through all the bad ones as well, including like Shadow Dragon on the DS and stuff, where they were like, we didn't try on the graphics. It's like, why didn't you try on that? It's so easy to do graphics. We made it look like mud. Okay, well, yeah, fine, brilliant. Thank you.
Great.
This one, for me, I really, really want to get into it, but I'm also a bit burnt out on Fire Emblem, I think, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've gone, oh yeah, before you do any of the battling, can you run a school? And I'm like, excuse me? Like, before I do the fun, I have to do a job.
Yeah.
I don't want to work at home.
Yeah, that's totally fair. See, I was quite into the school stuff.
Yeah.
Just because I love looking at those possibly underage characters.
It's the she isn't she of the whole thing. That,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, tickles you.
But
makes your nipples north.
Tits nup.
Yeah, tits nup.
I quite enjoyed it because I found it a unique way to try and train your soldiers, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was like, it's not just like battle and you will get better. It's like, no, you can do like, you can learn from these things. You can go do these activities and you can actually, instead of just being like, we're on a battlefield together, so we're friends. It's like, we're going to become friends because we're in classes together, because we're doing these things together, we're doing these activities together, we're doing this, that, and the other. That's how you actually...
And then we kill guys on the weekend.
And then we kill guys on the weekend.
And we kill lads on the weekend.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah,
that's
how it is.
By the by. But yeah, I think that makes... It made me more invested in the characters. When I saw like the support conversations, I'm like, this is a bit more believable, I think, because these are the kind of conversations that happen when you're chilling in like a boarding school.
Sure.
Rather than, you know, when you're an army marching around the place, for them to be like, oh, I've lost my sandwich, help me find it or whatever. It's like, that's really jarring. Whereas like that kind of conversation can totally happen when you're in a school.
Yeah, that does make more sense than the original Fire Emblem tactic of being like, well, we stood next to each other for a year, and now we're married. that was always the story, apparently. Yeah, we just stood next to each other enough, and now we're married.
Yeah, and it's literally, you see it all the time. If I remember, they're standing next to each other, they do an attack, and then boom, hearts next to each other. It's like, oh, you became closer because you saw him stab him with a lance.
Yeah, I love the way
Hell
you...
Hell yeah.
Oh, I love the way you gut a man.
Please penetrate me like that.
It's just awful.
Yeah, it's not great. But yeah, I quite enjoyed a different spin on it. Because my only Fire Emblem before that was Awakening, which I enjoyed, but I never finished. Because I don't know whether it was a bit burnt out. It just kind of felt very samey. It was like, battle, cutscene, battle, cutscene, battle, cutscene. And I was like, it's... Like, I did like the main first part of the story when I got to, what was his name? Gangrel. I should definitely remember that name. Yeah. Beat him, and then I got to like the second section of the story. Did about half of that, and I was like, I'm getting a bit bored now. So I never actually finished it. It was fun, but I never finished it. So I was like always on the fence with Three Houses, but then eventually finally got it, and I was like, oh, damn, I've been missing out on some really good Fire Emblem stuff.
Yeah, see, the bit I like about Fire Emblem is the bit where they change class and they get, like, mm-hmm. fancier versions of the costume, and I'm like, they look good.
Oh, hell like, yeah.
Great duds. Yeah. That's all I ever wanted it for, mm-hmm. sadly. So,
yeah.
to me, going like, oh, let's go around a school. Do you want to get some fish? No, I don't want to get some fish.
Okay, yeah. The fishing minigame is really boring.
Just let me do the battle bit. I wanted to do the tactical battling, not the tactical chatting. Like, nonsense.
Admittedly, I do massive amounts of tactical chatting. Yeah. If I remember, like, I want to gain support with this character. I will chat and have dinner with you.
Yeah. And it's kind of creepy because you're the teacher.
I know.
And I know they're, like, making it out like, oh, you're young enough that it's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, you're of a similar age, really, so it's fine that you keep taking Edelgard to dinner. But actually, it's pretty creepy.
Yeah. And
especially when the end of the game is you elope to France. Like, you know what I mean?
It's literally Jesus. Like, yeah, it's fine to marry your teacher, guys. That's the moral of the story from Three Houses. Anyway, I think that probably draws it to a close for this horrific version of the NXT WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you guys for sticking through this, and I promise it'll get better in time when we have more emails and more things and stuff to talk about. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll be back on Tuesday next week. Ollie and Luke are going to be away doing a live WrestleTalk podcast on Saturday, which might get turned into a podcast on here. I don't know. I don't know the details. I think that's probably the plan. So they'll be back with their live show on Saturday, and then we'll be back on Monday for a Hell in a Cell review, mm-hmm. Tuesday for Raw.
I think we'll have a mini-sode of the SmackDown ones from Saturday as well.
Oh, that's
potentially.
That's not a bad idea.
Just the highlights package.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Like a quick 10-minute bad boy roundup of SmackDown. So, yeah, lots and lots of podcast stuff coming soon. So, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you guys later. Love you all. Goodbye.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.